And we're back. News Radio KMAN, you're listening to In Focus. Nick McNamara in for Brandon Peoples today. Stephen Schaefer on the other side of the glass producing. We're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Lori Beard from the KSU College of Veterinary Medicine. We're talking a lot about equine medicine today. And we went over a bit about VS, or vesicular stomatitis, but there's plenty of other infectious diseases that crop up in horses, especially around this time. And one we were talking a little bit about is influenza. And we mentioned that VS has in humans some influenza-like symptoms, but horses are also susceptible to influenza proper.
Yeah, and this is equine influenza. So the influenza that's in horses is just in horses and not in humans. But yes, we see that causes high fevers, coughing. There is a vaccine for influenza. It does have to be administered twice a year to be effective for complete protection.
And you mentioned it's a specific equine influenza. Does it seems to manifest in some similar ways as influenza does in people, but is it of the same, I suppose, danger level? I know that there are, it's kind of rare in humans for them to end up dying from influenza. It's usually if you're like immunodeficient or maybe elderly or a young child, but is there a more rate of mortality in horses from getting influenza? Is there a higher rate?
Not to my knowledge, but all the influenza viruses, and even in humans and, you know, avian and pig, what they're capable of doing is changing a lot over time. So they do this kind of thing called an antigenic drift. And then that can result in difficulties of vaccines being effective. And that's why every year for us, I know that they make a new influenza vaccines. For horses, for the most part, no, I would think most of this is recoverable. Certainly, if you have a horse that has influenza and you need to haul that horse 800 miles, that horse is at high risk for then getting bacterial pneumonia. So it can set you up for other problems if not addressed.
And what would you say the rate of vaccination in horses is amongst horse owners? Is it common to actually utilize these new vaccines as they come out, or I know people don't always go get their flu shots. Do the same thing?
I think people actually do. So the interesting thing about vaccines is that, you know, certainly veterinarians can purchase and administer the vaccines. Some of these vaccines, the majority, owners could purchase and administer themselves, and they do come as a multivalent where you can buy one vaccine and it protects against six different diseases. The thing that people forget about, though, for influenza is that the immunity only lasts 6 months. So if you vaccinate in the spring and then you're doing things with your horses maybe late fall, maybe early spring, and you haven't gotten that second dose in, we've certainly had some horses that have developed influenza not being appropriately vaccinated.
Are we in the heart of flu season for horses right now, or is there a specific season that it really becomes more prevalent?
Really good question as well. I would think that this time of year where it's cold, people are shutting doors up, ventilation's not quite as good. Horses maybe are, if you're going to do anything with your horse, maybe they're more likely to transmit the disease. So yeah, I would think that probably fall and winter might be a more common time of the year for it.
Is there a specific time that's best to get vaccinated with horses? I know that there's certain times that they recommend with humans to go get it just so you can beat the season. Is there a specific time you'd recommend, or specific times, since it only lasts 6 months, to go ahead and get that shot into your horse so that you can maybe beat any potential complications arising?
Good question again. I think that when we talk about timing, what's probably more important is that there are some diseases spread by mosquitoes. So West Nile, Eastern encephalitis, and those are very serious diseases. So we always try to get those vaccines in before the mosquito season hits. And so as long as you're vaccinating with influenza every 6 months, you should be fine. And I would also say influenza is a risk-based vaccine. If you have a couple horses that live in your pasture and they're not interacting with other horses, your horse is at really low risk for influenza, but your horse is still at really high risk for things like West Nile or Eastern or things like rabies.
And that's a good segue, because there's some other diseases we're going to talk about today. And I guess we can just start with West Nile. I don't recall if we had any cases in Kansas this year. I remember speaking with some folks from the college a little bit earlier in the year, or perhaps it was the end of last year, about the possibility, but I don't remember if there were any cases confirmed within Kansas.
I personally, myself, did not have any cases. I'd have to check with our diagnostic lab to find out if that's the case. It wouldn't be a surprise to me if we actually do have some cases. And my cases have always been in horses that aren't vaccinated or aren't vaccinated appropriately. We see that disease. It's a, you know, it's a disease spread by mosquitoes. So it tends to be late summer, early fall when we see it. And again, it's always horses that were not vaccinated.
What are the signs and symptoms for West Nile in horses? When, how do you know that they've go ahead or went and picked it up?
Yeah, really good question again. So that can vary from just being sick and having a fever and they never develop neurologic signs. They can also quite frequently develop neurologic signs, and that can look a lot different. Usually there might be some muscle fasciculations. Maybe there are some difficulty walking. I've had some other horses become recumbent and were down for a number of days. And in horses that haven't been vaccinated, if you take 100 horses that aren't vaccinated and you gave them West Nile, 30% will die.
Wow. Okay. So it's a high mortality rate.
Relatively speaking, yes. It's a fairly high mortality rate. So that's why it's very important to get the vaccine. The vaccine's very effective.
And does it spread through contact at all? I know it's mainly mosquito-borne disease. Is there any risk of having horses around each other if they have it, or would you need to basically isolate them? How do you go about treating them once you know they have the disease?
Yeah, so the virus actually, if you try to look at in its blood or nasal secretions, you wouldn't find it for very long. So it's really within the brain. So yes, I suppose it's, so horses are really even considered a dead end host for West Nile. And so it would be difficult for a horse with West Nile, even a mosquito were to bite that horse, then transmit it to another horse. The virus is probably coming, and the mosquito bites a bird or some other mammal, contracts the virus that way, and then spreads it to a horse. So we don't isolate horses with West Nile. Certainly, if we're, as veterinarians, maybe doing a post-mortem exam on a horse, you know, and handling brain tissue, just taking some precautions that way.
Is it common to see cases of that around here? I know you said you're not aware of any this year, but is it common to see it in this part of the country?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, again, I would say in 2002, that's when the kind of outbreak started. I think in this facility, we had probably 18 to 20 horses, I think, in the months of August and September that were hospitalized because of that, and the vaccine had just become available. Because the vaccine's available, we might see anywhere from 1 to 4 cases a year.
Okay.
I think there certainly could be more than that.
I always find it interesting that they've managed to pull off the horse vaccine for it. But from what I understand, there's a bit of testing regulations that hold back getting a vaccine for humans on that.
Yeah, good question. And horses are more likely to get West Nile than humans. Horses are more sensitive to it, and they do have a higher mortality rate.
Okay. And we talked a little bit about rabies as well. Around this time of year, I could imagine that there's some animals trying to sneak into sheds or stables, and there's a potential that, you know, some bites could happen. Is that a primary way that rabies is spread into horses?
Yeah, it's always by wild animals. Most commonly, a possum, skunk would be the most likely. And it's a bite, but I've had 6 horses with rabies since I've been here. There's been no history of a bite. The incubation period is very long. In other words, a wild animal bites the horse, it might take weeks, months to result in neurologic signs. So that history of a bite usually is missed.
And what are some of the symptoms? Is it typical as maybe a dog with rabies?
It varies quite dramatically. I've had them present with difficulty standing. I've also had them present as initially they thought that the horse was a colic, you know, abdominal pain, and then it became obvious maybe in an hour or two that was neurologic. So rabies can kind of look like anything, and that can be somewhat unnerving.
When you realize that it is rabies, or when you start to suspect that it's rabies even, what's your course of action at that point?
So rabies is a disease that's fatal. And so when we consider any animal with neurologic signs of 10 days or less to be a rabies suspect, so we always try to, even though most people are like, gosh, it's probably not, we hang signs, you know, rabies suspect, we wear gloves, we try to do everything as prophylactic as we can. The diagnosis of rabies can only be made at a postmortem exam. So if the animal is getting rapidly worse, you know, then it kind of moves higher up on the list. But if the animal is getting better and the neurologic signs, you know, don't get worse, you know, then you can move it down to the bottom of the list.
So by the time you know it's rabies, it's kind of too late.
Well, it's certainly too late for that animal, right? It's a fatal disease. But by the time we recognize it's rabies, then it's time to start contacting all the people that have handled that animal, So us in the veterinary school, but the horse owner, anybody else that would have helped that animal, just to make sure then we can provide sure humans are protected.
So it can spread from horses to humans as well then?
It sure can. It's potential. Now, there have been no documented cases. Horses are probably less likely to get what we call the furious form and actually bite somebody. Because we've done such a great job in our country of vaccinating our animals, we don't see many human cases of it. In the world, though, there are 50,000 to 75,000 people that die of rabies every year.
Is it common for people to get that vaccination for their horses as well? I spoke about it or asked you about it in regards to other, like influenza. Are people as up to date with their horses on getting them vaccinated, considering how serious it is?
Most people are. The one thing with rabies is that in our state and most states, the veterinarian has to purchase the vaccine. The veterinarian has to administer the vaccine. And so if horse owners are giving their own vaccine, that means that they're not getting their horses rabies. It is not a very expensive vaccine, but it should be done.
And I believe we have a caller on the line with a question. So go ahead and put your headphones on, and they have a question for you. Go ahead, caller. You're on In Focus.
I just wanted to make sure that the public knows, and I think this is correct, that an animal has to bite another animal to get rabies. It's not spread in any other fashion. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, now the next thing I wanted to tell you, this is a story from a long, long, long time ago at K-State. When the old vet hospital was over there by Waters, my father and Dr. Leisure were walking him out of the parking lot, and behind the building they had a horse back there, and the horse was rabid, and it chased them over to the downstairs of the vet hall, and they didn't get bit. So that horses, as you did say, do get raped. That happened back in the 50s.
That sounds a little scary.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they were both pretty scared, and they were grown men. They'd been with K-State for 30 years by then or so.
Yeah, it's definitely something that you'll need to keep an eye out for, something to pay attention to. And, you know, if you, as you said, you isolate horses when you think they have rabies.
The biggest thing is just making sure everybody's aware, everybody's wearing gloves. And if rabies is high on the list, then we try to limit the amount of people that are in with that horse, anything we can do to limit human exposure.
I appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in, sir. But we're out of time for this segment. Dr. Beard, I appreciate you coming out and speaking to us about a host of different infectious diseases impacting horses.
Thank you.
All right. And we're going to head off to our break here. Coming in next, we'll have a talk about the Pottawatomie County Courthouse. Stay tuned. You're listening to In Focus, News Radio KMAN.